You all doing well? Amen. So many of you in the house today. On a Sunday morning. Amen. But thank you guys so much for being here. If you're in need of an outline this morning, love you to just raise your hand. Our ushers will be happy to assist you. You can also follow along on our CLC South Bend app, and you can follow along under the Sermon Notes tab in English or in Spanish. And so thank you guys once again. I want to also issue just a quick thanks to those who were part of our harvest party this past week. Want to thank especially James and Sierra Savannah. They led that team, and all of our Family Life team and all of our volunteers that helped with that. Thank you guys so much, and for everybody that came, invited guests, and so forth. It was such a good time. And just a quick shout out to Pottawatomie Zoo. Brought a couple of creatures. with them, and I adored them from afar. That's all I'm going to say. But it was a good time. First time we'd ever done that, and looking forward to just some great times. And I just love the creativity on this team. And so who knows what's coming next year? Last week we kind of shifted gears in what is presently our Covenant Elevation series, and we started this series. We were focused a little bit more on the covenant side of things, and last week we started focusing a little bit more on the elevation side, and we started looking at the life of the prophet Elijah. He's our main character for this elevation, at least for now, that is, for our elevation side of things in 1 Kings chapter 17. In that chapter, what we begin to see was Elijah confronting the evil of King Ahab. And Ahab, of course, we talked a little bit about the history of his reign. He was the worst of the worst, the nastiest of the nastiest. The Bible actually says that he did more evil in the sight of God than any of the kings before him. And because of this, in 1 Kings 17, Elijah issues a decree that no dew and no rain will fall from heaven until he gives the word. And so he issued that decree because of Ahab's evil in his reign. And so after this, God hides Elijah near a water brook, and he's fed by ravens. But of course, because of the decree he just issued, the brook begins to dry up. And so God sends him to a widow that he has instructed to feed Elijah. And so as we read this story, and we got some really powerful revelation, I really would encourage you to go back and listen to that either on our app or on the website. But some really powerful revelations came for our church in particular. But as we read this story, we see that this widow, she's getting ready to eat her last morsel with her son and die. But miraculously, after she obeys the prophet, she gives a little bit of a morsel of that food to Elijah. And Elijah, God begins to provide for her entire household, and with Elijah included in that. And so they had always had food. They always had something to eat in the house because of her obedience. And God even caused her son, who fell sick and died, to be resurrected by Elijah's prayer. And so in that, we begin to speak life to dead places. Amen. We begin to speak life to dead things. We begin to speak life to dead visions, dead, lost blessings, stolen promises, because we believe that breakthrough is coming. Amen. And we believe that breakthrough is coming. It's coming over our lives. It's coming over our families, over our church, over our communities, over our cities, even over this region. We speak life. Amen. And so as we kind of turn the page, both literally and figuratively, I want to move on to chapter 18 in 1 Kings. And we believe that that God has us on the road to breakthrough. And as we travel this road to breakthrough, we believe that there are some things that are necessary for us on our part to position us to receive breakthrough. Let me just explain that breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming whether you're ready or not, whether you're in or out of position. Breakthrough is coming. But we want to be in a right position to receive what God is pouring out. And so we're going to talk about that today. That's really the focus of today's message, is just positioning ourselves to receive what God is pouring out for us, not just in Elijah's day, but for us today. So I want to take you to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm a little bit hot in this mic. I feel a little bit of a ring. If you guys could help me out in the back. I think that's it. There we go. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and read in verse 1 in chapter 18 in 1 Kings. It says this, later on, in the third year of the drought. And so if you haven't read the story, if you're not familiar with the story, we saw last week in chapter 17 that Elijah issues a decree that no rain is going to come. And so there's a drought. But we know, having read this, many of us who know the story, we know that this drought lasts for 3 years, or some historians may even say 3.5 years. And so this is the third year of that drought. What that means is the drought is coming to an end. All right? And you remember, some of you remember what we talked about last week about that whole drought thing and what that means for our Michiana region. We're in a place of a drought. And we have been since for many, many years. I want to decree today that the drought is coming to an end. Okay? The drought is coming to an end. We're at the end of some things. So here he is right now in the third year of the drought, at the end of the drought. And here's what it says. The Lord says to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him I will send rain soon, or soon send rain. So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Before I really dive into this, the message, and to any of these points, I want to just show you something that I'm seeing. Actually, someone helped me to see this many years ago about what Elijah decreed in chapter 17. Here we see Elijah. We see the Lord speaking to Elijah. It says, go present yourself to Ahab. I'm getting ready to send rain. So Elijah goes and he does that. If you go back to chapter 17 in verse 1, if you can put that on the screen for us here. It says, now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God that I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give word. There's a couple of things that someone helped me to see, and I want to help you to see this as well with these two scriptures and see the contrast in the two of them. When an Old Testament prophet would speak, usually they would say something to the effect of, thus says the Lord, or here's what the Lord says, or that kind of thing. If you look at chapter 17, when Elijah speaks, Elijah does not use this kind of phraseology. Okay? Now, am I trying to say that Elijah spoke out of turn? Not really. I'm not saying that. But I do notice two things if you keep reading that verse, and when you keep reading chapter 18. Let's look at 17 again. Elijah speaks this word to Ahab. He says, there's not going to be any rain until I give the word. Now, if you hear the tone in that, it's not exactly happy to see you kind of thinking or that kind of tone. Not only that, he doesn't use the phraseology of thus says the Lord. The other thing is that if you keep reading, you'll see that God, as I kind of demonstrated a little bit comedically or whatever, God took Elijah and hid him. Because God recognized that, hey, you're giving, you're issuing a decree to a guy who really is not a very good king and probably will have your head on a platter if I just leave you out here. So let me hide you by this brook here. But if you go back to 18, check it out. It says later on at the third year of the drought, the Lord says to Elijah. So we see very specifically here in chapter 18 that God is definitely issuing this word to Elijah to give to Ahab. Now, why is that important? Notice the difference as to the result. He says, go present yourself to Ahab. Not hide anymore. Present yourself. Ta-da, here I am. Go and present yourself. Why? Because I've got good news. Not harsh news like what you said back in chapter 17. I've got some good news here. to tell Ahab, nasty as he may be, as bad of a king as he may be, I've got news, so good news, so go present yourself. Now, what am I saying in all of this? Just a side note here, but I think it's very important for us to grasp this, is that if you're going to deliver the word of the Lord, make sure you have the heart of God with that. Are you seeing this? If you're going to deliver the word of the Lord, make sure that you have the heart of God with it. Look at, real quick, just take a look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to take a step into the New Testament, and then we're going to come on back. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3, listen to what it says. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages others, and comforts them. Chapter 17 don't sound like any one of those. Again, I'm not suggesting that Elijah was off in this. I'm just saying it doesn't matter what that means for Elijah and God. Elijah is gone now. He's chariots of fire has come and got him. But we need to understand something here today, that if the word of the Lord comes into our mouth, we've got to make sure that we're giving it with the heart of God as well. Just a side note there. Now let's get into the message here. Let's drop all the way down to verse 17. When Ahab saw him, so God tells Elijah, go present yourself to Ahab. And so they meet, and in verse 17 it says, when Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, so, is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? And Elijah replies, I have not made trouble for Israel. It is you and your family that are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord, and you have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all of Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Asherah, who are supported by Jezebel. And so Ahab summoned all of the people of Israel, the prophets to Mount Carmel, and then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. And if Baal is God, then follow him. But all the people remained completely silent. Then here's your first point for today. Choose a side. And by the way, choose God's side. I realize Elijah's given an option here, but I'm just going to tell you, listen, choose God's side. That's the good side. That's the side you want to be on. And can I just tell you that when you're choosing a side, you're really, I know it may seem like you're choosing between God and the devil. And in a sense you are, but most of the time we're really just choosing between God and ourselves. It's choosing to let God be on the throne of our hearts or us. Satan is in that some way because he really is rooting for you. He's really is. This is the one time Satan is rooting for you to be on the throne of your own heart. So when we're talking about choosing a side, I know in Elijah's day it was God versus Baal, but really it's in our day it's really God versus us. Am I going to choose to make my own decisions, to run my own life? Am I going to yield it to God? And Satan's in the background. Go, Doug. Go, Doug. Go, Doug. You run this. You got feelings. You smart enough to do this on your own. You got enough sense to make rational decisions. You rule your own heart. And so God wants us to choose him instead. Matthew 6 and 24 talks about the fact that no one can serve two masters. You're going to serve one and you're going to hate the other. But you can't serve both. You can't serve God and worship idols. Okay? Now listen to what it says in James chapter 1. Because I want to highlight these two words that Elijah brings out here, at least in the New Living Translation. It's the word waver and this word hobbling. In James 1, 6 and 8, it says this, do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown by and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Breakthrough is coming. But if we haven't chosen a side, if we haven't made a decision that I'm going to follow God, then while breakthrough is coming, we might look at everybody else enjoying it, waiting on what's happening for us. While we're straddling the fence, trying to have the best of both worlds, well, let me do my thing over here. Okay, well, now I can, you know, you praise him a little bit. But, you know, I really want to do my thing over here a little bit. Hey, but no, let me, okay, let me get holy, let me clean all that off of me and worship God a little bit. It's like you're wavering too much. And you end up missing out on what God is trying to pour out. Let me look at the word waver here for just a second. It says, the word waver means to be undecided between two opinions or courses of action, to be irresolute, to become unsteady or unreliable. Unsteady or unreliable. I remember giving you an example of what that looked like. You know, if you can imagine someone pouring a glass of water and you're trying to, let me see if you got anything I can hold here. I don't have an empty cup right here. Who's got a cup? Who's got a cup or something? Oh, look at my wife. She is just moving. That'll work right there. There you go. And so if I'm trying to pour this into this bag here, but let's say she keeps moving it back and let's say she keeps moving it back and forth, I don't feel comfortable trying to pour what I have into this. Do you see that? So if you're wavering back and forth between, oh, I want to do my thing. Oh, I want to serve God. Oh, I want to do my thing. Oh, I want to serve God. Guess what you're doing? You're wavering while God is trying to breakthrough is coming. It's like, oh, okay. Hold still, Doug. Oh, wait. while I'm still going back and forth, God can't pour anything into me because I'm too unsteady and unstable. And God wants us to look, choose a side. Stay right there, and let me pour what I got to pour into you so it won't be wasted. And then it's this word hobbling. The word hobbling. The word hobbling means to walk in an awkward way, typically because of pain or injury. How long are you going to waver, go back and forth, and how long are you going to wobble? Hobble and be unsteady to where your walk has become weird. It's like you can't walk a straight and narrow because you're so busy hobbling because you're suffering injury due to the fact that you won't stay stable. Some of us are hobbling just because of the experience of pain that we've had in our lives. And it's like, I know God, but it's hard for me to trust God. So I don't know if I can stay over here. And I'm wavering a little bit because it feels like every time I try to trust God, something crazy ends up jumping off. So I end up over here. It's like, I know I got to trust God, but oh man, serving God hurts so bad. Oh, but ain't nothing over here. But serving God hurts so bad. And I'm hobbling. And I still can't get all of what God has for me because I'm wavering. I'm going back and forth. And Elijah says, listen, how long are you going to keep wavering back and forth? I know that there are times that you're going to experience pain serving me. I get it. But I need you to stay here, rooted and grounded in me, and trust me that I see the pain, I see the agony, I see the hurt, but don't hobble, don't waver. I know it hurts, but stay on my side because breakthrough is coming and it's going to pour right out into your life if you can just stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Let's go back to 1 Kings, verse 22. It says, and this is lengthy, so I'm just going to read right through it. Then Elijah said to them, I'm the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever they wish, cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood, lay the wood on their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood altar, but I won't set fire to it. And then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And whoever's God answers by fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people agreed. And then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood. And so they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. And then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noontime, shouting, O Baal, answer us. But there was no reply of any kind. And then they danced, hobbling around the altar that they had made. About noontime, Elijah began to mock them. You'll have to shout louder. He scoffed at them, for surely he is a god. Perhaps he is daydreaming. Or maybe he's relieving himself. I did not write this. Or maybe he is away on a trip or asleep and he needs to be awakened. Now, as crazy as that sounds, they replied and said, you know what? I think you're right. So they shouted louder. And they followed their normal custom and they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. And they raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice. But still, there was no sound, no reply, no response. And then Elijah called to the people, come here. Just come here. And don't get that on me. Just come here. Crazy selves. And they all crowded around him and repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. And he took 12 stones, one to each, to represent each of the tribes of Israel. I just want to pause right there and bless Israel. Some of you know about all that happened in Pittsburgh and with that terrible massacre of at that synagogue. But, Father, I just bless Israel today in the name of Jesus. I bless Israel. We bless Israel together as a people in the name of Jesus. And we speak life, Lord God, to your firstborn son, Israel, in the name of Jesus. Just felt led to, when I read this, just felt led to drop that in there. Verse 32. And he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. And then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 3 gallons. And he piled wood onto the altar, and he cut the bull in jars with water, and then poured them over the offering of the wood and the wood. After they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they had finished, and he did it a third time. That's 3 times 4. That's another 12 representing Israel. And so they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and filled the trench. Verse 36, at the usual time for offering and the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all that you have commanded. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. Verse 38. Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all of the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces to the ground and cried out, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. Point number two. I'm tired now. I'm reading all of that. Point number two, let God's fire consume you. And when I say that, what I mean is receive God's Holy Spirit. We understand that when John the Baptist baptized, he said, there's one coming after me. I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to even unlace, and he's going to baptize you with fire and with Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you with fire and with Holy Ghost. He wants to baptize each and every one of us with fire and with Holy Ghost, that our lives will be filled with the Spirit of God, so that as we live, we don't live in accordance with our own will, but we live in accordance with the will of God, with the Spirit of God leading us, and the fire of God purging us from everything that's not like God. Purging us from everything that's not like God, but leaving in us the treasure that is God himself. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that fire came. And the Bible says that while that 120 believers were in that upper room, they suddenly heard a noise and a wind blew, and the Spirit of God rested upon them, and it was like cloven tongues of fire. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There is an indwelling of God's Spirit and fire that he wants to give every one of us. So when we talk about breakthrough coming, we're not just talking about the end of your problems, or the end of your struggles, or the end of your pressing. We're not just talking about you getting a breakthrough blessing on your job, where you get the promotion, or you get the new car, or you get the new house. All of those things are wonderful and good, and they could come as a result of breakthrough, but the real breakthrough is the Spirit of God breaking through the darkness, piercing the darkness, to get to you. Breakthrough is coming. But the real breakthrough is God breaking through everything in your life to finally get a revelation into your mind that says, I need God. I need God. Breakthrough is coming to Michiana. I don't know where else it's getting ready to hit, but it's some people that are without God that are getting ready to realize they need God. And the Spirit of God is getting ready to fill people you probably thought wasn't even going to get saved. Breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. But there's a positioning that we have to take, that first we have to choose the side. In other words, I've got to give my life completely to Jesus. It's more than just coming to this altar and saying a prayer and then just going about my business. I've got to give my entire life completely to Jesus. Every part of it. I yield it to you, Lord. And it's only then that the fire of God, the Spirit of God, can indwell us. In case you were confused about that, you have to be saved first before you receive the Spirit of God. That means you've chosen the side. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's your choice to make. And once you have made your choice, if you look in John 7 and somewhere around the 37th and 38th verse, it says that when Jesus was at that feast time, he declared, if there's anyone who thirsts, let him come and drink. And he shall have rivers of living water flowing from his belly. And the Bible says that he said that in reference to the Holy Spirit that had not come yet, but would come to those who believed. If they had not first believed, that means they have not first positioned themselves. So as breakthrough is coming, they are out of position, and I don't know what is to make of them. I judge not that I not be judged. But here's what I will say. When you get on the side of Jesus Christ and you have made the decision to say, God, I'm going to serve you and you only. As breakthrough comes, as the Spirit of God pierces through, breakthrough is getting ready to hit your life. Breakthrough is getting ready to hit your life. Amen. And he's getting ready to be my God. Not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not just the God of mom and grandmom and great-grandma. Not just the God of my ancestors, but my God. He's going to instruct me how to live in this day. My God is not going to take me back 100 years to live how my ancestor lived 100 years ago. God's going to instruct my God. He's going to instruct me as to how I need to live today. Because he's not just going to be my God, I'm going to be his people. So breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is coming. Let's read this last verse here. And then we're going to close it out. Hey, now, doing all right. 1 Kings chapter 18, last verse, verse 40. Last verse in 1 Kings, I'm sorry. This is my close-ish. I forgot about that. Close-ish. We're getting there. Verse 40 says, then Elijah commanded, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one of them escape. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley, and he killed them there. Last point here. Get rid of the lying voices. You see that? Choose a side. I'm serving Jesus. Let the fire of God fill me. Purge all the dross and whatever else crazy in my life. Let the fire of God consume me. Now let me get rid of these lying voices. Let me get rid of these lying voices. You can be on God's side, filled with Holy Spirit, baptized in fire, still listening to lies. So look at what Elijah does. Takes the lying voices down to a valley and executes them. Now, in that day, what did they execute with? They usually execute it with a sword. So if I've got to execute the lying voices in my mind, I need a sword. That means I need the word of God. That means I need the sword of the Spirit. This is what Jesus did in the wilderness as he faced Satan. Satan came with lies. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship him and him only. One of Marvel comic poses. Start to jump down off the podium, just boom, you know, do that. But you need the word of God. You need the sword of the Spirit that's going to put an end to the lying voices. You may, in this season in particular, I'm not trying to condemn them, but there are well-meaning voices that are out there, but you may need to turn the volume down on them, especially in this season, maybe forever, but especially in this season, so that while you are on God's side, filled with fire and Holy Ghost, you're not still being swayed over to this other side by lying voices. So you may need to turn the news volume down a little. We're in an election season, so you may need to turn some of the campaign noise down a little bit. You may need to turn some of the social media voices. Let's just turn the volume down on that a little bit. I'm not telling you to delete your account, but you might need to turn the volume down a bit. Get you a meme in there every now and then, and then leave. But the sword of the Spirit, as we're turning down the volume on all these other voices, we're going to have to crank up some word of God. We may have to crank up some worship music here. The old song I used to listen to back in the day. Say, pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the... I thought I was going with a hymn. Not quite. Doug wasn't saved all his life. But you may need to turn off the computer and open up a Bible, or leave your computer on and open up your Bible app, however you work it. But we're going to need some voice of God to destroy these lies. And I'm not telling you another opinion to consider. I'm telling you the word of God to destroy the lies, replace the voices of lying spirits, of irresolute thinking. There's some thinking that may need to be destroyed so that some new thinking can come in. So get rid of the lies. Elijah takes the prophets. Everybody say prophet. He takes the prophets of Baal. A prophet is a mouthpiece. And we see that in the life of Moses, where God was calling Moses, and Moses was refusing to obey God, and he brought his brother Aaron. He said, he will be your mouthpiece. He will be a prophet to you. He will speak on your behalf. So a prophet is one who simply speaks on behalf of another. And a prophet of God is one who speaks on behalf of God. And he says, I got to take y'all down to a valley. I got to slay all of you. I got to slay all of you. Now, here is, I just saw a little flicker right there. Like, Lord, just let me get this out before the power goes out. Just bring it back Monday morning. So let me hurry. I'm trying to get my thoughts wrapped around this. This was something I shared at the marriage retreat we went to in October, or yeah, last month, just a few weeks ago. And it greatly applies here. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here, God, or Paul rather, he says, I've received such wonderful revelations from God. And so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. So there's a thorn in my flesh, a thorn in my flesh here, where it's to torment me, but it's also to keep me from becoming proud. What that tells me is because the devil would love for me to become proud. So even though I recognize that this is a messenger of Satan, if it's to keep me from becoming proud, I believe God's got some hand in it. Not that he's necessarily giving me the thorn, but he's using it. It's a messenger of Satan, but God knows how to use it. Just like he told Peter, Satan's coming to sift you as wheat, but I'm going to use that. I'm not going to stop him. But I'm going to pray for you that your faith doesn't fail. So here, He's given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. What does a messenger do? He gives a message. So if the messenger of Satan is giving a message, what is that message? Amen. So Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, first man, first woman, Adam and Eve in the garden, and the serpent comes to the woman and asks a question. You know, did God say you really couldn't eat this fruit? And Eve says, yes, we can't eat that. We can't even touch it. Here's what the devil says in verse 4. You won't die. You won't die. A lying voice. You won't die. Sin is safe. It's okay. Sin is safe. You won't die. Sin is safe. I'm not going to even go into what I feel like I can go into right now about our sin. I'm just going to let you deal with whatever it is that popped up in your mind when it comes to where you think sin is safe. Because I got my own places where I've had to struggle with and like, oh, that's okay. Oh, and every time it bit me hard. I didn't say where it bit me. It just hurt. And I recognize the wages of sin is still death. And here Satan says, you won't die. Verse 5, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The voice of Satan, the lying voice, the thorn in your flesh, is telling you that it's not enough for you to just have God's will. That's not enough to fulfill you. It's not enough. The bubble of Christianity that you're living in is too boring for you. And what you really need is to go outside of that if your life is ever going to be really satisfied. And don't worry about it. You won't die. It's okay. It's safe. God knows your heart. He knows you want a little fun, excitement. Go ahead and do that thing. Y'all with me? So there's a message lying to us. And all of us have it. It's ingrained in us. Paul says, I believe it's in Romans 7, that sin is in my members. The lying voice of the enemy is in my, it's just in me. It's in me so much that when I hear it, I think it's my own voice. And I'm not talking about, you know, mental insanity. It's just I process things. I have the DNA of original sin still spinning inside of my mind, even though I'm now saved and on this side, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, talking in tongues, etc. There's still my flesh trying to draw me to this other side and say, it's okay, it's safe. Not only that, you need this, man. You know your life not going to be fulfilled just going to church every Sunday. You know that's not enough for you. So ultimately, the message of Satan is a message. The thorn in your flesh is not some specific, well, I won't say what it is, what it isn't, but it's a message from Satan that says what you are, who God is in your life, and what he's given you is insufficient. It's a message of insufficiency. The thorn in our flesh is just something that keeps telling us that doing right is just not enough. And it's a lying voice that has to be slain by the word of God, by the sword of the Spirit. It's a lying voice. And here's what it says in verses 8 and 9. Three times I begged the Lord, get this voice out of my head. Take this away from me. Get this desire out of me. I don't want to want this anymore. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. Don't worry about how drawn you are to this sin. Don't worry so much about how you're wired so that you crave this thing. Just trust me when it comes. Just trust me when the temptation comes. I know you want to be perfected. I know it's just that one thing that you're struggling with and you would be all good. Don't worry about that weakness. Trust me with that weakness. When that cute little thing walks by, don't worry about your temptation to want to look. I know you want to be such a man of God that just doesn't bother you at all. You are just so full of the anointing. You've been praying hours upon hours, fasting for weeks upon weeks. And I know you just want to be that man of God. It just doesn't bother you. Listen, don't worry. I designed you for that to be attractive to you. I haven't designed you to lust after it. But I've designed you for this to be an attraction to you. So when you see it coming, don't try so hard to trust in your own ways. Just trust me with it. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. My power actually works best in your weakness. Can I just drop this here on you real quick? The reason why a lot of us go through so many things and so many trials, it's and I know we want to bind the devil every time it comes up, but can I just tell you that oftentimes God is using that to expose your weakness? And a lot of times he uses it to expose your weakness because we won't expose it ourselves. And it's like the only way that God can get to it is for it to be exposed. You can't just come into a hospital and say, I don't feel good. At some point, the doctor's going to prod you here. Well, where does it hurt? What's wrong? Okay, you won't answer that. Does it hurt here? No, it doesn't hurt there. Does it hurt here? No, it don't hurt there. Does it hurt there? Ah! And a lot of times when we have confrontations with people, Jimmy, can you just stand up for just a quick second? Just stand up for a quick second. There are times when we can bump into people, or somebody might bump into us, like, and we're walking through the grocery store or whatever, and we'll bump into somebody, and it's like, oh, man, my fault, I didn't even see you there. And we're just going about our business. When we're hurt there, and somebody bumps in, man, what's wrong with you? You're trying to kill me, man. Because something just got exposed that normally wouldn't have even bothered you. And all of a sudden, God put you in a situation with a person, and the next thing you know, they bumped you in a way that normally you would just keep on walking. But because something's there ailing you and you won't own up to it, God's going to let this whole thing happen. And it's going to bump up against you and you're going to realize, that hurts. And now I've got something to take to the Lord. To say, look, I'm not asking you to be strong and act like it don't hurt. I'm not asking you to be so strong. Let my grace be sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect where you're weak. Hallelujah. So here's your bonus point. I haven't had a bonus point in quite a while. Receive God's grace. Amen. Can I just do something real quick here? We have some people in the house that I want to pray for, and I want my wife to help me with this. We have some people in the house that we just want to pray for, and we just want to pour the grace of God into their lives. We have some dear friends that are here, and some of you know them. And when this church first became Christian Life Center, we had a couple of worship pastors in the Tinley Park CLC that were just absolutely phenomenal. Just absolutely phenomenal. And we love them. We're still friends with them. We get to hang out with them every season God allows us to hang out with them. But they're here today. And Steve and Shay, can you guys just stand and just come on, stand up, man. I know you just came here to sit down. Just give me some rest. Amen. Because not only did they lead worship there in Tinley, they came here and led worship for quite a while. Their son Chad came here, him and his wife Lisa and all their children, and led worship for a while. And when we would when we first came here, we were still in Chicago but pastoring here. And when we would come here, they would actually let us stay at their home. And a big, beautiful home, loved it, and it was just great. Our kids came, and so we appreciate you guys. But I'm going to ask you guys to come here, come forward, because we want to pray for you. Yeah. Want to pray for you guys. Amen. And we have one other pastor in the house. Yes, I'm looking to you, Auntie. I'm not even sure how to deal with this, but many of you have prayed for our aunt, and you don't even, some of you didn't even know who she was or whatever. And a week or so ago, our Uncle Benny passed away, and his wife, they were pastors, and they are pastors, and she's here today just to receive, you know, just some rest in the Lord and just to kind of get away from things. And I know you're trying to get away from things, and here we are putting you right on the spot. But she's here today and just needs some prayer as she goes back to Louisiana. And her and her family are in need of prayer. So thank you all the elders that are coming at this time. But Auntie, I just would love for you to come. And family, would you guys, Ma and Nisha? Amen. Elders. You got so many people here that love you and don't even know who you are, Auntie. Just love you, praying for you. And, you know, our heart goes out to you and to all of our family and to all of Renew Church in Louisiana. And I hate putting you on the spot like this, but we just want to pray for you. And you guys, thank you guys for who you have always been in our lives. Thank you guys so much for just having the heart of God and teaching people to have it. And it's not just about good singing. It's not just about good musicianship. And those things have always been important to you guys. You always displayed the excellence of musicianship and tonality. I remember auditioning for you guys one day. Well, thank you. But I do. It's like, oh wow, I better bring it, because I know that they're not just gonna, you know, just put anybody up there. So, I brought it. You know what I'm saying? But it was good. It was decent. They stuck me in the background somewhere and said sing tenor. So appreciated that. And I love you guys, and I'm so glad for where God is taking you, where he's brought you, things that he's brought you from, struggles and so forth, hardships that taught you so much, and it tenderized your hearts because you guys have such gentle spirits and you know how to handle people without bruising people. You know how to bring out the best in people without having to crack them over the head, you know, and we're so grateful for that. Can you guys... I'd love for you to stand. We got some pastors here. I guess it's appropriate to stand. Some leaders here. It's good to stand with them right now. And I'm gonna let my wife just begin to speak some words as well with the prophetic voice. Amen. And while she's looking up scripture, I just want to just offer a prayer to just kind of give some oversight to what we're doing here in this moment. Father, I thank you. You've called us to be a teaching hospital. That was one of the words that you've given us, Lord, a teaching hospital. And you are bringing healing to us, and you are teaching us how to be healing for others. And so in this place of healing, Lord, this moment of your grace being poured out, I'm just asking right now that you would pour into my aunt, pour into her family, pour into their church, and that community in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I thank you for Pastors Shay and Steve, Lord, and for their ministry and their desire to bring refreshing to pastors throughout their area, Lord, and even throughout the nation. Their desire, Lord, to see pastors healed and to see your people worship. I bless that right now. And I ask your grace, Lord, to touch their lives right now. In Jesus' name.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon us now, because the Lord has anointed us to bring the good news to the afflicted. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. This is what I heard over you, something that these pastors have in common. This is what they said yes to. This is what they gave God their yes to many, many years ago. To allow the Spirit of the Lord to be upon them for people. And today, there is a refreshing that I believe he wants to give back to comfort your hearts who are mourning, to give you a garland of beauty instead of ashes, to give you the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. God, I thank you that you will be in them the righteousness of God, that oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that you may be glorified, Lord. So I speak to the ancient ruins, and I thank you that your word says you will rebuild them. I speak to the devastations, and you said you would raise them up from all former devastations. I speak to the ruined cities, from vessels that have poured out and poured out and poured out. And I thank you that you said you would repair the ruined cities, the desolation, that you will be their God as they are your people. I thank you that they will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. And instead of shame, they will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. They will possess a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to them. You made an everlasting covenant with these, your people. And I thank you that their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of people. And all who see them will recognize them, because they are of the Lord who he has blessed. And we will rejoice greatly in the Lord, for you have clothed them with garments of salvation. You have wrapped them in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with garland and adorns herself with jewels. The earth brings forth sprouts in their land, and they have a garden that causes things sown in to spring up. Lord, I thank you for the time of refreshing in their life. I thank you, Lord, for the time that you will cause righteousness and praise to spring up in their life. Blow, Holy Spirit, blow. Wind of the Spirit, blow through their lives, God, like only you can. Blow your refreshing. Blow, wind of God, blow. Blow rescue. Holy Spirit, blow rescue to the places that need rescue right now. We believe you, Lord. We believe your word, Lord. We agree with your truth, Lord. You who are faithful and true. You who are trustworthy and true.
The word of God says, "The blessed are the feet for those that announce the good news of God." And I want to bless their feet and pray for them. And another thing God showed me, sometimes we have fear because you have asked. Maybe in our age, are we going to start something new? Okay, don't be afraid. God is with you. And right now that we're praying for you guys, I can see the presence of God. That it was His wings covering you, over you. And He's going to put at that widow. He's going to put that widow. And He's going to take care of you guys. And He's going to take care of you. He's going to put in front of you women and men that they're going to lift up your hands. And we're going to pray for your hearts. There's always a feeling when we leave something behind. But you guys have the blessing of God. And you guys are going to bless new generations, new people. There's people that are waiting for you guys. They need that desire of fathers. That you are their fathers for them. Spiritual fathers. Father, thank you for their feet. They're going to announce the good news. Thank you. Thank you because they're going to go and bring peace. The peace of your word. To the one that it's needed. The one that's sick. We bless their feet. And we declare that every step they take, they're not beholden by the fear, because they go before you, because their feet, these are your feet, they're going to walk, and they're going to keep sharing the good news of salvation. We bless them. We're going to pray that you're going to provide that widow. And those women and men, they're going to uphold them, secure their heart with them. We bless them. We secure their hearts. Give them that vision that you have already. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for their obedience. Thank you for their time. Thank you for their heart. Thank you for the peace. That you're going to give a new strength. Because He's going to renew your strengths. Your spirit. He's going to give you strength like the buffalo. You're going to walk and you will not get weary. You're going to run. And you're going to get fed. We bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
I have this word for you. This is the book for Isaiah 45, verse 1 to 3. This is the word God put in my heart this morning. I never see you. But this word coming very, very hard in my heart for you. The Lord said this to his anointed, whose right hand and I had grasped to subdue nation before him, to unloose the lion of king, to open the doors before him, and the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and level the uneven place. I will shatter the bronze doors and cut the iron bars in two. I will give you the treasure of darkness and region for the sacred place, so that you weep may know that I, the Lord, the God of Israel, call you by your name. Yes.
Maybe you're here this morning and you need to receive the grace that's being poured out this morning. I'm going to invite the rest of our prayer team to come. And whatever your need may be, whatever it is, wherever it is that you may need God's grace, wherever it is that you may feel like it's hindering you from truly choosing God's side, even if you want to receive His Holy Spirit this morning, He's here. He's here today. And God wants to fill you with Holy Spirit and with fire today. In the name of Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to come. And if you have to be heading out, we're going to dismiss you at this time. But if you're in need of prayer and you desire to just linger in the presence of the Lord, we're going to remain here for this moment and just ask the Lord to fill our hearts with His grace today. So if you can just lift your hands with me right now. Father, thank you so much for your people. Thank you, Lord, for your grace being poured out to us, Lord. Thank you that your grace is all we need, and that your grace is sufficient for us. Let our hearts be open, Lord. Let every lying voice, Lord God, be put to rest by the word of God, the sword of your spirit today. In the name of Jesus, and let our hearts overflow with abounding grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer or if you just want to linger in the presence of the Lord, we invite you to come. If you have to go, just hug a few people before you do so. And we bless you and we bless your week today. God bless.
To encounter your covered it.